When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching, so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Hey, y'all. Hey, what's up? And welcome to Let's Red Table That. I'm Tracy T. Rowe.
And I'm Kara Presley. And baby, yes, we got a special episode for y'all today.
That's right.
Super special.
That's right. We mentioned before that we guested on the Black Fat Femme or BFF podcast. And now our BFF hosts, our friends, Dr. John Paul and Joho Daniels, are gracing us with their fabulous presence. Welcome to the virtual red table, Dr. John and Joho Daniels.
Yes. Thanks for having us.
Oh, welcome, my gosh. I'm so
welcome.
Excited.
Listen, Dr. John is an educator, professor, national speaker, and so much more. They were named one of the top 40 LGBTQ people under 40 by the National Black Justice Coalition.
Yes.
So welcome to Let's Red Table That, yes, Dr. John.
Come on here. You better be top 40 LGBT, right, under 40.
I wish it came with a check, though.
Right. The checks are coming, baby.
Can I get a coin? Can I get some gold?
It's coming. It's coming. I see that recognition. Yes, I see that recognition. Joho is a writer, speaker, and photographer. On the side, he maintains This Is Me, a social project that was featured in Plus Model magazine. Welcome to the red table, Joho.
Damn, yo,
yes,
dug me
my sister,
that one. Baby. I was like, ooh, this is me.
Oh.
I was like, we no longer maintain her, but she was giving for quite some time.
Oh,
but
damn.
Oh my
All
god,
right.
Thank you for mentioning that, because that was like, that was my baby when we did that.
Once it's out there, it's always
no,
out
you're
there.
Right. She maintains right. herself. She maintains
That's
herself.
It. Listen, the resume is always the resume.
A legacy. A legacy.
That's it.
Yes, it's a legacy.
For those who don't know, the BFF podcast is all about encouraging people to love themselves unapologetically, and we are totally on board with that message. I know Tracy mm-hmm. and I definitely are. We embody that, okay?
100%.
So we thought it would be perfect to invite them here to dive deeper, okay, into the idea of weight prejudice, okay? I know I am full, and I know they may be as well, but we loving ourselves, okay?
That's
we started
right.
exploring this while we talked about our Queen Latifah recap. So we're going to dive into it today.
That's right.
Before we get into all that, we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is the part of the show where we reveal which moments made us pause, rewind, and listen again. Wait, what? We covered a few of these moments in our last episode, but we have a few more to discuss because, of course, they had us in shock. So, wait, what was that?
Yes. Let's tap okay. in. And the first wait what? Mm-hmm. Okay. Get ready. Put your seatbelts on because this wait what is really what wait the hell what? The recent news story that the Red Table Talk brought up, which revealed weight discrimination at work.
For every 6 pounds a woman gains, her hourly pay drops 2%. People who are overweight are hired less, promoted less, and paid less.
Now, wait the what? Ridiculous. This one right here, this weight prejudice. Okay, so y'all know I'm plus plus. I'm proud of my plus plus. But to think for every 6 pounds an average American woman gains, their pay drops 2%. 2% is a lot.
Baby.
So,
I'm underpaid.
underpaid. Have you experienced right. weight prejudice?
Underpaid,
right?
Listen.
Have you experienced weight prejudice at work? Okay, so Kara, we know that you said deuces to the full-time gig. When you were still there, though, did you experience it? And then I want to hear from our guests, too.
I think they were just intimidated because I'm amazing. You know what I mean?
Come on but here.
The more I tap into it.
No, that's right.
The more I tap into it, I feel like there could have been some prejudice. And I'm really trying to unravel, like, how would I have known? Because, of course, we know they cover it up, right? But I would love to hear what you guys say because I literally was fighting so many things when I was working. Yeah. I don't think I had time to really notice. And that might be part of the problem as well.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Right. There were so many things that you were battling. Many prejudices. The prejudice of sex and ageism and racism.
I was the only person of color in my space. You understand?
Right.
And that's a battle itself. Yeah. So I will say the study is interesting because it focuses on women or people who are assigned female at birth, I'm assuming is what they probably mean as well, and no one assigned male at birth. And I think that's interesting, one, because I'd be curious of what folks assigned male at birth experience, but also it speaks to how women continually get the shirt and the stick in terms of professional experience and career pay. Or I guess I would say I'm shocked, not surprised. Right. I'm shocked because I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting. But also not surprised because, of course, we find every reason to dock women's pay. So I will say to your question, I haven't experienced at the point of affecting my compensation. Now I'm like wondering, is it because I'm assigned male at birth and identify as male? I have experienced white prejudice in other facets. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, in my last job, I was a photographer part of my job was taking photos of events. And people, 9 times out of 10, someone would be like, can you make me look thin? Can you edit this in post? Mm-hmm. Could you like cut out this little fatness
right
here?
Let me see it. I want to see my stomach. Hold on.
Exactly. The first few times I was like, I'm just gonna let it pass. And after that, I started being like, I just want to point out, I'm a fat photographer. So when you're telling me you want me to make you look thin, like, one, I'm not gonna do that because I'm not being paid to do that, first of all, okay? That's not my job description. It's take pictures of you, make you look cute. Thank you. Second of all, your messaging is then, what do you think it tells me as a fat photographer? That I should be ashamed of myself because you're not happy with yourself. And so that's one thing, when I experienced it socially. Thankfully, my last show, I don't think I experienced it in terms of the job itself. I know I was not underpaid. I was being paid more than some folks in my organization. Mm. And I was being paid more than the average person in my similar role in different organizations. So they took good care of me and they took good care of me now. But one thing I think about a lot is healthcare costs. Like, what do those look like as well for people who are fat? And particularly the plus side with employers is that they typically won't really see that. But if you're applying for healthcare yourself, then it becomes more of a conversation what your healthcare costs look like. So that's just
that's so true.
John, how about you?
So I can't, and again, it's so interesting because I wonder if, kind of in the same vein for me, I'm wondering if I didn't see it overtly because of the fact that I identify as cis male up front. But I definitely can see moments where people say and do shady things to you when you are a fat person.
Yes.
One of the things I always think about is one of the jobs that I had in the past, every month we would always do, either they would cater food or they would, we would have a meeting. Mm-hmm. And they would cater food or people would bring food. And it never failed that I could sense that people were always policing my plate. And it was noticeable, too, because there were moments in my job where I had lost a lot of weight because I was actively trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And so it was always kind of like this, ooh, can you eat that? Are you supposed to be eating that? Are you?
See?
And it's like, girl, can you just mind your business? And so
that
I think
part,
for me,
eat your cake.
How about you get out my mouth?
Right. Like, leave me alone. And so I think when you start talking about it, while I may not have dealt with it in terms of my actual pay, and who's to say, you know, maybe I didn't get more money because I wasn't quote unquote attractive or whatever the case may be in that regards. Right. I still think that there are other ways that we technically pay for it. And I think it comes at the expense of maybe conversations people have, whether it be in front of you, conversations people have behind you, even just thinking about the way people go to you for things. Right. Noticing specifically me working in education, I always noticed when students were real quick to run to my quote unquote attractive colleague, right? But this idea that I had to constantly kind of posit myself as an educator or the quote unquote smarter one in the room in order to kind of take up for the idea that I didn't look a certain way or I didn't perform a certain way. So again, I think it's important for us to name the pay. I definitely believe that whether you be fat, whether you be big bodied, however you want to identify yourself, I think that there are multitudes of ways that bigger bodied individuals pay for that 2%. We pay for it in a multitude of ways when we're on the job.
Yeah, that's so true. For me, I absolutely felt it. People are now getting to a point where they're in positions where they talk about salaries more openly. But, you know, it was almost taboo. No, don't talk about it. Don't tell anybody what you make. Right, but it was also very apparent to me in previous positions where you could look around and see that you were the anomaly. Right. That there was a mold. Okay. And if you didn't fit the mold, it was amazing how those people progressed and how little I did. Right. And so, they may not have fat shamed me or had weight prejudice from their perspective. It may not have been as overt as they probably thought they were hiding it, but I could feel it.
You feel it. You always
feel it. I could feel it.
The other way, what was Gammy said,
I think people find overweight people offensive. I think people just have a negative, visceral reaction to people that are overweight.
They gotta figure that out.
Part of what Lai's talking about.
This struck a nerve with me. Please, I wanna know your perspectives, because when I see this, I'm thinking overweight people are offensive. I think they assume we're like lazy. She can't do. So back to Dr. John's part, when you had to position yourself as the smarter. That's how I always came with facts first, work first, quotes. Highlights, because I didn't even have time for whatever they would come with. But again, I was facing so many things. I got tabs and notes and papers. I'm validating at every turn. You know what I mean?
That's so, total defense mechanism.
Definitely a survival tactic. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me what you guys are thinking. How do you feel about that?
When you said that, immediately the offensive thing jumped out at me. I think for so many people, it's audacity. That word lives with me. I think there's so many people in this world, even this notion of us having a show that's centered on Black fat feminists, right? Who are you to have the audacity? Who are you to say that you love being Black? Who is it to say that you love being fat? Who are you to say that you love being queer? Who is it to you to say that you love being a woman, when so much of society has told us that we're not supposed to like or even love who we are? And me and Joho have said this on several occasions. I think we've gotten into this maybe two or three episodes of our show where we talked about this like versus love conversation. But I think that there is this thing that people really sit with when they see Black, specifically Black fat femmes, and I say this women and not, when they see us in enjoy and seeing us not kind of caving to the ways that society wants us to. Well, how did you get here? How are you surviving?
Who are
How are you thriving? How are you? How dare you drive a nice car and actually have a good job?
The real question that they want to know is why?
Why don't you think you ugly, girl? That's what I feel. Why don't you think you're terrible and all the other things they feel like naming? Because I'm not, sis.
They
that's
can't
why.
Comprehend it. They can't. That's why people hate Lizzo. That's why people hate Lizzo.
Yes.
The hatred that Lizzo gets is because people can't comprehend why someone like Lizzo would love herself.
That's exactly it. Damn. Unapologetically Lizzo.
That part.
And I'm going to tell y'all something.
We live for her.
The idea for me that people think that people that are overweight is offensive to them is offensive to me. Because I don't say anything about you if you're underweight.
That then when I say you need a sandwich, now I'm wrong. See
then
what I'm
you're
saying?
You're the wrong person. Yeah, now you're shameful.
And I don't want to say that, though. I don't want to do it on either scale.
It's the connection of overweight, lazy, ignorant that really grates on my nerves. Mm-hmm. That's what gets to me,
yeah.
Right? This Queen Latifah episode was just chock full of wait what's for me.
Because wait as in W-E-I-G-H-T wait?
I was like, wait as in W-A-I-T.
You know what? Come on.
I'm like, wait, double entendre. Wait and wait.
I'm here for it. Come on here. Wait and wait what? Yes. And so one of the other wait what's was studies have shown that Black women are more satisfied with their bodies than white women. What do you think is the difference between the Black culture that has a higher body positivity?
I'll tie it back a little bit to the last question as well, because I think that's the reason why people find overweight people offensive. Like, I think when you tie in the context of living in a Eurocentric society or a society that has been about white folks and white past and white adjacent folks coming to this land called America and really enforcing what standards look like, and to my understanding, like so many Black diasporic and African cultures, like the bigger body is celebrated.
Right.
In fact, in many other cultures, in indigenous cultures, in Latine cultures, like so many bodies are celebrated. And so I think when it comes to even the point of people finding overweight offensive in Eurocentric standards, it's like the one thing people say, like, you can change about yourself. And so they find us offensive because they think, like, why would you not want to be thin? And really the question is, why would you not want to be beholden to a white standard of living?
Right.
Which is sad, because then I'm like, because my question to that is, why would I be holding myself to restriction? Why would I behold myself to a one-size-fits-all approach? And also, why would I behold myself to whiteness when it hasn't served me positively in any popular way? I mean, like, I exist in a body where, like, one half of me fled the Holocaust and came to America, not because they wanted to come to America, because they had to, and one part of me was brought to America. Like, no part of me really wanted to be here, but that here I am. And so if someone thinks I'm offensive from existing, it's like, girl, there's so many more important things to worry about.
Come on.
than
first
my body.
Of all, life is too short.
But our democracy is dying. people are being killed in the streets.
Other part too, like, and Tracy, we've talked about this, where they automatically assume you're unhealthy. They automatically assume, oh, you have heart disease just waiting to happen. And that's not it. You know what I mean?
It's not it. And who gives a rat's two behinds about that? Because at the end of the day, like, someone's health is no one's business. You are not their doctor. You are not paying their bills. Like, no one owes you their health, period.
That part.
My friend, a Black fat woman, just was telling me last week, like, her doctor ran her vials and was like, oh, your vials are perfect. She said, he said, and I quote, I would kill for those numbers.
Right.
And then he proceeded to tell her, you should lose weight. And she was like,
sir,
you just told me you would kill for this number. Yep. Why would I lose weight?
I don't think it makes sense, doctor.
But I think Black culture just came to this country appreciating a fuller body.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Bring it back to the question. Bring it back to the question.
Come on back. We really did.
I agree.
Re-listen, mama.
I agree. Yeah.
We were celebrated for our full hips and our full behinds and our full busts. We literally had to have that in order to survive, right?
Right.
And we now see that people are having surgery to get that. Hello?
Ain't they though? Those BBLs killing y'all, dying over it, literally.
And
those
your thighs BBLs don't match.
Killing y'all.
Yes, come on here, sing it one more time.
BBLs, honey.
It is a theme song for me. Because what is going on?
They walking around looking like the doggone Incredibles.
That part.
Incredible. Mama Incredible Child.
Yes.
Oh, Elastigirl. Oh,
but it's really, it really goes back to, again, like, they, some people believe we're just supposed to have our head hung low and singing Negro spirituals. Yeah. I just,
because it's not my vibe. It's ingrained. I'm going to say this really quickly because I know that we can go on for days, but I think the bigger thing for me is, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this notion about being satisfied with your body, and can't help but think about some of the stuff that James Baldwin wrote about. And it's this notion of the idea of how we are taught to have to love ourselves, and specifically white women not having to. Like, it's this this notion of having, like, it's automatic for them, right?
It's automatic
for a lot of white folks to kind of just believe that everything, their life should be easy, right? And so we've been taught from a very young age. My mom taught me at a very young age to love the curls in my hair. My mom taught me to love my skin color. My mom taught me to love my ashy knees when white kids would make fun of me for having ash on my knees, right? Like, there are all these things that we as Black people have had to been taught to love, and we've had to come to learn through trial and tribulation. What I will say is that I think a big part of that is us really having to fight to love who we are. And a lot of white individuals specifically not being able to comprehend that. Now, is that a blanket statement? I don't know. But what I will say is that I think that we have been since, and I say ancestral, it's not just now, from the ancestral lens, we've always had to fight to love who we are in moments where the world was telling us that we shouldn't exist.
And the other part that you just mentioned, I'm not going to let it go. You said when you had some ash, that your mother taught you to love you when you had a little ash. We had such a segregated vernacular that was private.
Yeah.
And separate and different. And one that we used throughout our culture, but it was not universally shared. And so when we would say things, it was like it was a private, almost like it was pig nighting, right? Yeah. Like we talked in code. Mm. People are just now starting to understand some of the things that we say when we say you got ashy knees, you got ashy legs. You know what I'm saying? When you said ash, I thought I was like, and to the good people who don't understand ash, that would be dry skin that has literally changed
your
color.
Body have been affected by the weather. That means that you need to put on something
and
to
they
moisture.
May turn a hue.
Yes,
and we say ashy, but really it's ashen.
Girl, you're ashy. Oh,
listen.
Ashy.
Something as simple as that. Like, no one had to teach you what ashiness was, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now, it's amazing to me when I hear white people talk about ash.
Because they be ashy, too. I've really seen some white ashy people.
They've been ashy.
Oh,
it can be like
and
that.
And their actions and on their body. Some of their actions are also ashy.
Because they don't wash their legs or their feet. That's why.
But actions can be ashy. Listen, I just want to say.
Actions can. Come on, action. And your energy can be very
ashy. Your energy
ashy.
Can be
talk
yes.
about it. I'm just going to be honest. Energy. When we're talking about all of that energy of people being offended by us and whatnot. Your energy is ashy because.
Your energy is ashy because your spirit is ashy.
That part. But then when I look at it to go real deeper, when we talk about our soul food and things like this, the same people who gave us scraps and want to talk about our body shape and high blood pressure. Did you hand us a salad? Like, did you give us anything successful to eat? Tea. Like, even my grandmother told me the story about how they picked tobacco and then, yes, they ate watermelon because that's something they grew and they had. And then, like, the rind helped them to get the tobacco
Clean
off
their
hands.
Yeah.
Right. Now, mind you, now people are probably staring at us and to talk about all the watermelon funny commercials and all the blackface and things they did back around that time. But it's like, you guys chose, or at the time, they chose to look at us and make fun of when we didn't have any. Where were we washing our hands? Like, those pieces of the bullying for me.
So
like,
interesting that we talk about weight, and weight literally runs so deep into the history of who we are. At the Red Table, Queen Latifah said that at 18, 19, she looked into the mirror and realized she had to make a decision. Which was either going to be hate herself or love herself. Maybe. Now, see, this goes back to what we were just talking about. Have you had a moment of realization like this in your lives, whether it was about your physical appearance or something else? 18, 19 is such a pivotal age, too, right? Because we know that's like you're grown, but not really.
I did. You know, listen, I was a young mom. I want to say 18, 19, I had just started full time at my career and I had my son at 20. But about 28 going into 30, I had this come to Jesus. Not that I didn't love myself, but I was really embracing myself. And really, I am more than a mom. I am more than an employee. And that is when I became Big Bone Barbie. That was when I was doing stand-up comedy. Because I just, you know, we're going to go ahead and get the joke out before we even get into it. Yes, I am big boned. We are here. But I'm also a Barbie, and Barbie doing everything. Barbie is a doctor, lawyer, she camping. I looked at the Target catalog the other day. Barbie doing hair. Barbie doing everything. In the book. When I was coming up, Barbie just had a car and a house. She had just come up, okay? Barbie's doing it all. All right?
Barbie was freed from oppression.
Now she working.
So that helped me to just step more into myself and just accept my journey, accept everything. Even when I look back at how I looked at my weight, a lot of the, what some people may call self-hate or wanting to be smaller, was really the conditioning from the sports I was in. I did gymnastics. I did tennis. They were all 10 pounds. Of course, there was a comparison there because I can't do certain flips because the coach can't spot me. You know. Girl.
Okay, we're going to have a whole nother conversation about that. Because let me tell you, I break a whole bunch and crack a whole bunch of faces on a regular basis doing my splits. Today,
come on.
51, 300 plus pounds. I can still do the doggone splits.
I can get on the floor.
I can tell you, don't let the fat fool you.
I love it.
Yeah, I was like, one of my best friends growing up, she was also fat and she was cheer captain. She was out here doing bat flips.
Don't let the fat fool you.
Flip flops
and shit.
That part, so,
back in school, I definitely would bust them splits. Today, I could barely pick up a penny off the floor. But that's okay.
Okie doke. Okie doke.
That's okay. That's these 20-year-old knees. That is the knees.
That's that age.
That right.
We're going to take a short break right now, but when we come back, we'll have more of our conversation with our friends from BFF.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Joho and Dr. John, what about you? Any kind of self-realization, actualization, any kind of, this is it,
I'm making a day.
Which day?
So just the question, I would say this is how it works for me. Maybe some people it wouldn't work, but to me, I feel like it's a constant recommitment to myself. Like, have I had a moment where I was like, was a moment where I was like, I'm going to hate myself or I'm going to strive to love me. Because I would say, I always frame it as I'm going to strive to love me because I know that not every day I will and that's okay. And like, I want to give myself grace to that. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't sit here and tell people, I love myself 24/7. Because like, I don't, and it's like, it's not because I'm fat. It's because like, sometimes I don't think I'm the best person, or the best friend, or the best son, or the best employee. Like, I will always go through a moment of like, I'm not loving myself so much today or I'm not liking myself so much today. What I will say is that there was a moment where I'd say, I will never hate myself again. Because that's something that I can actively choose to not do. I don't need to hate myself. But I will say I have a constant recommitment to who I am. When it comes to my physical appearance, I actually experienced this recently because last year I lost a lot of weight. Like, not intentionally. It's just I got the COVID. I was mad sick. I said, I'm going to start walking every day to make sure that my immune system's good. And like, I just lost a lot of weight. And then this year, like, I've gained some back. So my come to Moses or come to Jesus moment for me is saying, okay, girl, like, you gained some weight. And like, that's okay. I refuse to hate myself. I want to strive to keep loving myself. I know the factors that have led to this, and I want to shift the factors that led to this because I know those factors that have happened to me don't make me happy. So I want to shift back into doing things that made me feel joyful. And if your body changes, cool, cool, cool. If it doesn't, cool, 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 girl. Like, one thing I realized is this big-ass body, this 300-plus-pound body, like, it has traveled the world. It has hiked up mountains. It has dropped it low on the floor. It has twerked the heads in the splits. It's cooked bomb ass food. Eight bomb ass food. Like, there is not one thing that it hasn't done that I've asked it to do.
Come on.
It's got, baby, it's got a podcast, baby. It got full time job. Bitch, this body bought a house. Like, this body has done everything.
Right. That body's been through it and it's continuing to persevere. That's it. I love that. One of the things immediately when I heard you speak about your body and the journey that you've had, it made me think, and I held these up, my Everyday Amazing affirmation cards about every day is not going to be great. And the two cards that immediately were at the top, one that said, I will celebrate myself. And the other is, I will appreciate my body as it is today.
All right now.
Yes,
body.
Yes.
Right now. Yes. Come on, alignment.
If I could get in real quick, I think the one thing I will say that I love that Jordan mentioned was the notion of being kind to the size of your body, because I think that the world will celebrate you for losing weight. The world will celebrate you for assimilating. And I think the biggest thing that I wanted to hit on this, it was funny because a friend said this to me and I was gooped. She had looked at me and she said one day, she said, were you really truly ugly in college or were you around a whole bunch of white people who made you feel ugly because you were black and fat?
Oh, wow.
And when she said that, I was like, okay.
It's the generalized notion, right?
Yeah. Like, I was like, I was like, yeah, you know what?
You know what?
I went to a PWI. And that's why I felt ugly, because I was the only black queer person on campus.
It was a total aha moment for you.
Yeah.
That's just because of being, when you are the only fat friend in your group, you will automatically, you like, oh, am I the ugly one? And then you're like, no, I'm just the fat one, and everyone thinks I'm the ugly one, but no, girl.
That's what did it for me. So I think for me, what helped me kind of love myself is to recognize that a lot of the stuff that's put on to me for me to not love my hair, my size, my femininity, all of these things, right? This doesn't come from me. These are all standards that society is trying to make me assimilate to, and I'm refusing to do it. So that's why I wake up every day being like, I like me.
I love that. And it's a perfect transition to the next thing we're going to talk about. We know that the Black community, because you went to a PWI, I went to a PWI, and it's amazing how that influences your mindset. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the Black community is more body positive than others, but I also want to talk about how the queer community responds differently to body types. Okay.
Now, this is new for me. I need
I told Karen, get ready.
I'm just listening, because in my mind, I'm like, is that a thing? Like,
it's a thing.
Oh, yes.
It's a big old thing. For me, the women and the men, it's all about, they were numbering folks, okay? There was a person that, she and I weren't really together. You know how you're not really together, you're talking, but you know, friends with benefits, whatever you want to call it. But she ended up being able to connect with someone who she deemed 9 or 10, okay? I didn't ask and didn't care what she numbered me, because I knew I was 100. However,
how are you doing?
I will say
that
she, unlike me, is still single. I have been with Sweetie for 28 years because I wasn't stuck on stupid looking at somebody's body.
How you doing?
I go
in love, honey.
Thank you.
So you over here judging me, but you single. The queer community's good for that. Oh, you're not a 10. You know what? I may not be a 10, but my husband helped me pay bills.
That's hard.
Now you out here worried about how you go pay your rent. I don't have to worry about that.
And whether I gain 10 pounds or lose 10 pounds, my wife loves me just the
same. There it is.
Okay.
Yeah, so Car, it's the same. And sometimes it can be worse, I think.
So I'll say this. The Black Fat Femme title came from the notion of no Blacks, no fats, no femmes in our community.
Yes.
That's the whole play of BFF, the BFF. And so our first episode, if you go back and you listen to our first episode, that is why the first episode is titled Yes Black, Yes Fat, Yes Femme. And that's actually what the title of my book is going to be, because of the whole notion in the queer community.
Yeah, come on.
It's not picked up yet. I'm saying from my lips to God's ears.
It will be.
Yes,
when it does get picked up, it will be called Yes Black, Yes Fat, Yes Femme, because of the ways that I internalize, and I think maybe Jordan too, and even you, Tracy, I think to a degree, we all internalize the no Black, no fat, no femme. If you go on
absolutely
to a dating app, that is usually the first thing that are in men's little grinder profiles, whatever profile it is, it usually is no Blacks. And they'll say it's a preference. That's how it's masked. It's masked as, oh, it's a preference. And it's like, no, baby, you're fat phobic.
I'm about to say it's giving phobia.
It's giving. It's racism.
It's, within its own subculture.
Yep.
I mean, my goodness. Listen.
Yeah.
Just as the only single queer person here, what one thing I think about a lot within this is that, Cara, just give you some like more context. Yes, it is for sure. The queer community is not immune to being fat phobic or phobic of anything. And I would say, and Tracy, I'm really curious to your experience, because I believe I see it more often with gay men. And this is where I always draw the difference. Gay men versus like men who identify as queer. And even like the terminology, like I know so many gay men who identify as gay and are the ones to be like, you're an 8, but you're fat. You're this, but you're that. And like, we'll just constantly discriminate you. The queer men who identify as queer, I see a bit more. They talk about fat phobia, but are also always in the gym taking pictures of themselves, like shirtless and stuff. And so I'm like, okay, so you talk about fat phobia, but like, you ain't gonna sleep with nobody fat. Like, I don't
see no black fat people in your Instagram pictures.
Gay men I see who only have friends that look like them, and they're always white. It's just so. I think, so queer community responds to different body types. In my experiences, I've seen more queer women be more accepting and be more embracing of different body types. But that's only from my experience of seeing it. So
interestingly enough, too, that's true for masculine identifying.
See, the subculture.
Okay. It's a subculture. So already, you know what we're doing? I'm going to go ahead and just call this now. I'm putting this in our doc as a conversation. We are literally going to bring you back for this conversation on our show.
Literally. Yes. That.
Not even kidding you.
Yeah. I can sit to the side too, because the way I'm learning and taking notes, like, let me make sure I don't have any.
Don't you looking like the Issa Rae GIF with all the different equations going on around you, child? Lord Jesus. Like the,
Kyra will pull really a notebook out while we're recording. I want you to know. Problem. Start taking notes.
We are lifetime learning over here, okay?
2 = 8
divided by 4? What?
Carry listen, the Joe, one.
Joe Ho, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more, and maybe you can help me too, because like I'm a bigger bodied person, as we say in here, and dating is just, is trash for me. How have you just navigated dating? I'm just trying to live over, I'm just living.
It's the ghetto.
I found more friendships on this dating journey than actual relationships, but how does it feel for you?
Okay, that's a good one, Cara. Thank you for that question. That's been that I find interesting because I've had, and I say thank you because I've had this conversation a lot in the past week, actually. I just had this conversation with my therapist as well. That
I love that.
Like you said, right now it's trash and it's ghetto. And it is for me as well. And I'm trying.
I'm sorry.
I'm not laughing. It's just Dr. funny.
John! I'm trying really hard. Like people will say, then like, a friend recently told me, the more you speak negatively about it, then like the more negative it will be. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Sure, Jan, I hear that. And you're telling me that. You're, but you're telling me that as a conventionally attractive, like, white
and
person.
And half like, married.
I
like,
hear
stop
you.
It.
And at the end,
you've been together 15
who,
years.
Exactly. Who was with somebody.
Get
and
out
like,
of my face. Okay?
People see us hot. So I hear you. And like, yes, if I talk negatively, good things will not happen. I hear that. And also, you have to understand that when I exist in a body that is not what people want, that is going to be my experience. Like, I would love to be positive about it. Find me a positive
way. My body's on a little journey.
Sway. That's all I hear. Help me, Sway.
Sway. He had the answers. No, listen.
Come on, help me.
Listen. Because I, you know, for me personally, too, like, I'm a new entrepreneur, 17 months in, you know what I'm saying? And I had to tell myself, like, yes, girl, you have gained a few pounds, and we are trying to enjoy that part of the journey, because that also means we ain't miss no meals. Like, weight gain can look and
we always eating good in this house.
Listen,
yes.
It can mean different things, but like, so I want you to understand that while I'm out here trying to date you. But go ahead, Joe.
I do agree. The coach in me agrees. What you focus on is what will grow. That is true.
Yes.
That is true.
I fully agree with you. Like, I'm trying to reshift and renegotiate what my relationship with what dating is, because I want to speak positive things, but I also have to be like really true to myself and say, but instead of saying dating is trash, I just say people I'm searching for have not found me yet, and that's okay. Yeah. I will say one interesting advice that my therapist gave me was I should maybe consider just desensitizing myself to rejection, because the rejection is actually never about me. I'm trying to believe that.
We are not
like,
in
it's
alignment.
Not about me. Okay.
We just weren't in alignment.
Exactly.
Y'all are such beautiful people, because like, I'm a realist of the realist, and I'm going to say from all of the experiences I see, I love y'all. I love you, Jordan, for being that beautiful that you can
tell us what to say,
Dr.
So John.
Because, baby, the way I see it, the way I see my friends struggling out here in these streets, dating is something else. It literally is giving the old Carousel Mall in the Inland Empire.
It's bad.
It's giving.
No, it's
They're
bad.
Liars out here, no, Dr. John.
It is bad. It's bad. But what I tell myself is not, it's not bad because I'm bad. It's bad because
people
exactly.
are not good people.
That's
people
exactly
not right people. That's real. Good people. That's really
the,
real.
That's what I'm trying to tell myself. And, Cara, like, you would get this with me, girl. Like, we successful. And honestly, success turns people away. Off. Like,
doesn't it?
I think people I have to remind myself, like, to be 28, have a good job, own my own home, have a thriving group of friends, like,
and be black.
Like, if you see me, when you see me out here, and be black, and be queer, and be fat, and be dressed,
and the
like,
nails is
and
fire.
Still be successful.
They mad at that.
Thank you, and get my nails done, and like, go out every night, I am living my life as well. And I think sometimes that is the biggest turnoff, is that people will see somebody like us, Cara, and be like, oh, like they really have it together.
I'm just
no one
living.
Has it all together,
okay, so
like,
here's the thing.
Exactly.
Take that as a gift. Right. And as hard as it is, and I'm going to tell you, it's a hard gift to swallow. But I'm going to tell you this. If you are in a position where you have all those things going for yourself, it's no different than a woman, Cara, that is doing well for themselves and are successful and are and surviving and thriving on their own. If someone feels like they're turned off by that, that is a good thing, because then they are not worthy of you.
That part.
Yes.
They are not worthy of you.
Yes.
And so when it's time and the person can be a compliment in your life, it will literally fit. That's all I got to say. You're about right. It. You know what else I got to say? That we could talk to y'all until the cows come doggone home. But we are not going to do that because we have so many more episodes we can record with y'all. I just love it.
Yes. I feel so like you're going to be back. I feel like you're going to be back. I feel it in my spirit.
And y'all will be back.
I can't wait. We have back and forth.
We have back and forth right. Every other episode.
Tracy, I'm here again. Yes, they are. We're doing a spin-off.
I'll be back.
That's right.
Call it the Rainbow Table Talk.
That's it. Come on.
Yes. Rainbow Table Talk. We gonna get a table so we can have a podcast where we are all talking about life and love throughout the lens of the gayness.
I love it.
That's
and bringing allies in too, honey. Yep. Rainbow table talk.
We'll
see if you hear us. Make it happen.
Speak it into existence. That's what I want to know. Okay.
And I love you guys. Thank you. I love you all. Do. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you. And this was just a successful conversation.
Look forward to the next time.
Yes, God.
And you remember what my card said, okay? I will appreciate myself, my body as it is today.
Yes.
I celebrate myself, yes.
Thank y'all so much for coming to the virtual red table.
We love you.
We want to know how you're feeling about this new season of Red Table Talk, and we're open to talk about anything with you all. So please send in your questions at letsredtablethat@redtabletalk.com. Or you can now leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/letsredtablethat.
I love that. I can't wait to hear people's voices. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe on iHeartRadio app and please rate this podcast on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back next week for another episode of Let's Red Table That. Special thanks to executive producers Jada Pinkett Smith,
Fallon Jethro,
and Ellen Rackerton.
Thank you to our producer, Kyla Kineru,
and our associate producer, Yolanda Chow.
And finally, thanks to our sound engineer, Stephanie Aguilar.
Let's red table that. Let's red table that. Hey. Let's red table that. Let's red table that. Hey.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.